Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com as we begin our study in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31, titled, Seek Ye the Kingdom of God. If you have any questions, comments, or prayer requests, you can send those to our email address, bbfohio@protonmail.com. You can also send a letter along with any check or money order contributions in support of this ministry to Bible Believers Fellowship, P.O. Box 662, Worthington, Ohio, 43085. You can also donate at bbfohio.com. Now we begin with a current events update and then our study in Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 31, titled, Seek Ye the Kingdom of God. This is part one of two. This is Mark's favorite time of the day. Yeah. Headline reviews in the news. Number one, the growing attempt to punish Christians for not embracing Sodom. Christian farmers are in court after being barred from farmers' markets over their views on marriage. The owners of a farm in Michigan filed a lawsuit against the city of East Lansing after they were reportedly banned from a local farmers' market in 2016 because of their biblical viewpoint on marriage. Their case is being heard in federal court this week. Steve and Bridget Tennis of Country Mill Farms operate an orchard farm, and they host weddings on their property. They say they used to set up a booth at the East Lansing Farmers Market to sell produce, but they were told they could no longer be a vendor at the farmers market. Attorneys with Alliance Defending Freedom, we support them, information on the back wall about Alliance Defending Freedom, said East Lansing city officials targeted the tenants because of a Facebook post. So on a Facebook post, this family farm orchard said that they believe God's word. They believe that marriage is between one man and one woman.
Amen.
Any other form of marriage is a perversion. And for that, then, they are treated the way the Nazis treated people. And they are kicked out of the farmer's market. Now, they're doing the right thing. God has ordained our government under the U.S. Constitution. You have legal recourse, just like the Apostle Paul in the book of Acts. He appealed to Caesar. So you should follow legal recourse. And thankfully, most of the time, the Constitution is being upheld. But there are exceptions. We have one, the lady florist, whose constitutional rights were annulled by the fact that the state wanted her to be forced to provide flowers for one of these false marriages. And the Supreme Court refused to even hear the case. So the state decision stood. That's just information you need to know. You need to be prepared. If you're going to stand for the truth and stand for God's word, you're going to find that people who hate God's word will hate you. Those without Jesus Christ increasingly hate those of us who serve Him. And that's what Jesus said would happen in the last days. The godless who reject this book are going to hate you more and more until finally He returns. That's on the biblical clock. Number two, your tax money will be used to kill unborn babies around the world. 77% of Americans oppose this. But the elitists are eugenicists, and the House Democrats just voted for it anyway. Now, thankfully, it may be stopped in the Senate, or at least altered. But they are voting so that, here's from the story, the House of Representatives voted Thursday to pass a bill that would allow U.S. taxpayers, tax dollars, to pay for abortions worldwide. American tax money going around the world to kill unborn babies. That's what they want to do. The Christian right spends millions of dollars to save souls, feed, clothe, house, lost souls all over the world every year. The Antichrist left spends millions of dollars to murder, helpless unborn children every year. And that's the line in the sand that's being drawn today. Choose this day who you will serve. Don't stand over there with the murderers and pretend you're serving Jesus Christ. It's not a choice. And judgment is coming. You can get by with it for a while and feel good about yourself if you're spending your tax money killing babies. But there's a judgment coming. And those who support this, those who push this, are going to be held accountable by a very real God on a very real judgment day. And it's coming. And number three, and finally, the sodomite satanic culture continues its spiral downward. The Converse shoe company has now, they're trying to outdo Nike. Lil Nas, or whatever they called him, with his satanic shoes that had a drop of human blood on them, in them, and in the heel, I think it was, and had 666 on them. That was from a Nike producer that, to their credit, Nike shut down. Converse doesn't want to be outdone, so now they have unveiled designer shoes with a satanic symbol replacing brand's star logo. You notice, I don't know how many, I used to wear these. And the star is upright and is just a typical star like you see on the American flag. But in the, they don't actually, I don't know why they don't show a picture of it. I couldn't find it. I saw other forms of it, but the official logo, they, for some reason, didn't have out there. But it's an upside down star, a pentagram, which you'll find on the cover of the Satanic Bible. And that's now going to be on their shoes. So earlier this week, Converse unveiled a new limited edition collaboration with fashion designer Rick Owens through his brand, It's Dark Shadow Without the Vowels. The sneakers, coming in several styles, feature a pentagram in place of the iconic Chuck Taylor star. As Christians, we know we can't expect the unbelieving world to act as we do. Amen? I mean, it's to be expected that they're not going to really care about godly things. We can and should, however, be grieved by the shift we're witnessing, because it will come with consequences. And every nation where people think they can have a wicked culture without consequences, guess what? There's always consequences. Every single time. That's why we urge you to read real history. Go to original documents and resources if need be. And find out the path that this country's on right now. Psalm 9:17 says, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." That's God's word on the matter. Not Greg's word. God's word. Soon we will be raptured and the wicked will face judgment. Amen. And there's going to be seven trumpets, seven vials, and seven seals. Actually, the seals come first. Seven seals, trumpets, and vials. Among other things, the persecution, the whole mark of the beast system, where you won't be able to buy, sell, or trade unless you have that mark. All that's coming. And so the Bible says now is the day of salvation. Now is the time to get ready and get settled on those matters. Let's look in Luke chapter 12. And we're going to start in verse 22 through 31. Seek ye the kingdom of God. Luke 12, 22 through 31. And we will have you join in and read the odd verses with me. And so I'll start in verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. God's people say amen.
Amen.
Good. All right. We'll jump right in, but we have to remember the context. What's the three main rules of interpretation? Those of you who have been around a while know it's rule number one.
Context.
Rule number two.
Context.
Rule number three.
Context.
All right. That'll save you a whole lot of headaches. Jesus had just said this to one man in the two verses before we read, but God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. I'm not going to re-preach what I taught last week, but that's the starting point. That's why in verse 22 it says, and he said unto his disciples, what? Therefore. What's therefore mean? Well, because of this, which I just said, I'm now saying this. And that's how you avoid taking things out of context. Brother John showed us that in the Sunday school lesson this morning. That when you quote one verse, but you ignore the context, that can be trouble. Now, we don't have time to always run every verse and go read the entire context. That's where you, according to Acts 17:11, are supposed to be like the Bereans. When you hear anybody, including the preacher, quoting a verse, jot it down if we don't have time to run the whole context. And when you go home, open your Bible, look it up and see, make sure that preacher was using it in context. And if you'll do that, it'll be amazing how much you grow. But verses 22 and 23, then he says, based on what he had already said, and he said unto them, therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for the body, what you shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Believe it or not, these verses, because they're taken out of context and not understood in their intended meaning, there have been people who have used this as an excuse not to work and not to do anything but live on the streets. And I'm serious, there are people who are professing Christians who do that. To take thought, or as he's saying, take no thought, is more than just to think about. Of course you're going to think about what you're going to eat at some point. It's impossible to pull the ingredients out and make something if you don't think about it at all. So common sense helps here. Amen? It's not real common, but most of you, I think, in here have it. To take thought is what we might refer to as fret about. That's what it means. Don't fret about things. I am not preaching to the bride today, by the way. Although I know she did a little fretting. She did a little fretting yesterday, and I said, Mark, sit down. I'm going to be teaching on this tomorrow. Did you sit down and read this? I hope so. And it's good advice, and it's not because it comes from Jesus. Amen. But I also want to say a word about anxiety. There are some people well-meaning teach on this, and they'll just act like anybody who suffers from anxiety is like they're backslidden. There's something wrong with them spiritually and all that. Listen, anxiety can be brought upon by anything from a health condition, brain injury. We've had two or three here that deal with that. And it can bring on anxiety. Medications. you may have something totally unrelated, but you take that medication, and next thing you know, you're dealing with anxiety. There are a number of different things that onset of, like a panic attack. That's a totally different thing than what we're talking about here. Those things, you do need to get some help. You need to maybe even have some medical tests run or whatever and take care of that. What we're talking about is overboard on the everyday things of life. Overboard on the normal things of life, where you just can't let God have control. You just can't. Oh, you'll say it. Oh, I trust the Lord. But do you? That's what he's talking about here. So what he's saying is, don't waste time and damage your mental and physical health thinking incessantly on such matters. We've had over the last 2 years this COVID thing. We as a church kind of fit in the middle of the extremes. And you have some extremes where people have totally lost common sense and reason. And I have relatives that still aren't coming out of their homes. But then you've got these other people who are running around saying that it isn't even real. Or, you know, it's not even something you should worry about at all. And what we've tried to maintain here is that balance. And where, if you especially are in those categories where you are susceptible and could be in bad shape if you get it, you should take even more precautions than most people. And I just urge you to do your homework on that, but also on other things. You know, it was not too long ago where we were all obsessed about other things, and somehow they just disappeared.
And
yeah, when COVID showed up, all those things that had the headlines, just think about that. The headlines gripped people and they were so concerned about them. And my mind's not working right now. There was something we were talking about yesterday that right up before COVID was on all the headlines. And you couldn't turn the TV on without seeing it. And then when COVID showed up, suddenly it's still there, but it suddenly isn't in the headlines. Why is that? Because the world wants to take advantage of you. The world wants you to be in a panic, so you constantly be watching that TV and adding to their ad revenue. As a matter of fact, the world, the medical system, you've got to keep your eye on that. They'd love to have every one of us on 6 or 7 pills maintenance you take every day for your whole life. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody in here, several of you may not have a med you need to take. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying they will take advantage of you. You've got to think and you've got to use reason. And if they can drive you to the point where you drive yourself crazy and you hurt your own mental health and your own physical health, don't let them do it. Philippians 4, 6 and 7 says, be careful for nothing. Now, again, that doesn't mean you don't care about anything. Careful, full of care. Don't be overwhelmed with care and concern about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. There's so many times people were freaking out and calling me up about something over 30 years of ministry. And they'll say, and I'll say, now settle down, stop. Now, I want to ask you a question before we go on. Have you prayed about this? How few times could they answer and say, yes, and I'm still freaking out? Most all the time they say, well, no. And if that's the case, I'll say, well, how about we do that? Or I'll even say sometimes, because I don't want people thinking, I'm not your mediator. You don't need me to talk to God. And I'll say, why don't you hang up and go talk to the Lord for a little while and then call me back. Sometimes they don't even call me back. They pray and it's so settled, they just stop even worrying about it. So before you freak out, take note of this. Write this down. Before freaking out, pray. And then after you pray, You still feel like freaking out? It's probably something big like a meteor or something. Go ahead. Freak out. But anything normal in life that you're dealing with, I'm telling you, prayer changes things. Amen?
Amen.
Noah Hutchings on Southwest Radio Church used to always say it. God is still on the throne and prayer changes things. That's my imitation. Imitation is the highest form of flattery. He's with the Lord now. But what happens then? The Bible itself tells you. If you do what I was just talking about, the next verse says, "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." Isn't that an amazing thing when you've done it? Instead of freaking out, you go to the Lord and pray, and then He gives you such a peace. It's an amazing thing, and it's at your, it's on the tip of your tongue. Just do it. By the way, you don't have to pray out loud, but you can pray in your head. No, we always have to tell people this just because I feel a bit of a responsibility if something goes wrong. Don't close your eyes and bow your head if you're praying while you're driving. You don't have to do that. You can pray with your eyes open. And, you know, if you're doing dishes, you still watch, make sure you don't stick your hand on a knife or a fork or something. You see what I'm saying? A couple of illustrations now follow. Look at verse 24. "Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls?" If God takes care of the ravens, He will take care of you. Amen?
Amen.
I mean, God provides plenty of roadkill. Amen? And then, I think this is humor. Jesus, I think, cracks jokes. Some people don't get it. But you need to pray. God will give you a sense of humor. But in verse 25, it says, "And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit?" I can't remember which TV show, but there was actually a TV show I watched when I was a kid where the kid was told that if he just concentrate on it and think about it, he would grow. Well, then they pulled a, you know, on him because he was measuring himself. And so they erased it and changed it. And so he goes, he's thinking and thinking all day long. And then he gets home and he goes and checks and he growed a whole inch. He's so excited. And so I think that's what Jesus is using as a bit of humor. My issue is this. See, and no matter how much you think about it, you're not going to lose weight unless you stop eating so much ice cream. And I hate that. Because I love ice cream. And I've cut way back. And I'm not up here to boast or anything, but I've lost a little weight. And I just thought I'd share with you the secret to losing weight. What are you laughing about? The secret to losing weight is first, gain 50 pounds. Then lose 25. And then you can run around bragging about the fact you lost 25 pounds. See? Book's coming out in the fall. Yes, signed copies for a little extra. So thinking about it won't make you taller. Verse 26, "If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest?" It's just 2 + 2 = 4. Thinking about things ain't going to make them better or worse. I mean, you think enough to make sure you're not doing something stupid. Make sure you're doing what you ought to do. But beyond that, it doesn't do any good. If it's out of your hands, put it out of your mind. If it's out of your hands. I got sick of hearing it, even though I know it's true. To stop trying to change things outside of your circle of influence. Because it'll just drive you crazy. Give it to God in prayer and leave it with Him. Amen?
Amen.
I'm getting through to John. Amen. How many of you remember the Serenity poem?
Yep.
It's one of those popular things that actually turns out to be decent. "God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference." There you go. That's really good stuff. Pop culture once in a while comes through. Then verses 27, 28, we go from ravens to flowers. "Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, They spend not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? Worrying doesn't make your clothes fit any better, and it don't make them look any better. Amen? As my wife Jenny is fond of saying as well, it's all going to burn. So, fretting over. It's like we like having a nice yard and everything, but, and I hope I'm not picking on anybody here today. I'm not saying this to hurt anybody's feelings, but, man, we know some people who've spent half their life trying to make their yard look like something in a magazine. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't know what goes on inside that home or anything, but a lot of that time could have been spent on their marriage and their children and whatever else for something that, and I've seen this, one particular man had his yard look like something out of...